My prayer is that as we're gathered this morning, that we could connect with God and worship Him together, that we would meet our expectation. I hope that is our expectation. My scripture this morning will be from Acts 16, so you can turn to that. Acts chapter 16. I'd like to look at the life of a character from the Bible who is not quite as well known, but has been one of my favorite characters, even though she gets very little coverage. Lydia, seller of purple. And so you can be turning there, but I'd like to introduce my thoughts this morning by talking about a very special relationship that happens in life. And that is the relationship between putting ourselves in the right place and doing the preparation for something, and then experiencing serendipity. Now, that's a word that we don't use a lot. If you've forgotten, I'd like to read you the definition of serendipity. Serendipity, the word is the aptitude for making desirable discoveries by accident, good fortune. You just stumble across something good. I'd like to think about that. You know, the serendipity. Is that completely stumbling across? When we experience something good, as we hope to do this morning by hoping to experience God in worship, is that pure accident? Is there something we should do? You know, in Matthew it says, the word fell on good ground. It says it found root there, those who heard and understood, and good fruit was produced in abundance. And so I think that we can think of this, what we're anticipating today, as the farmer coming and planting in the metaphorical soil of our hearts. But it is also us preparing that soil. There are many examples of this happening. You know, the businessman who wants to experience a good trade deal doesn't stay in bed. He gets out of bed, goes to the business expo, maybe he goes to Wall Street, somewhere where he can find good business deals. Ruth in the Bible wanted to experience companionship after she left the land of her youth, and she didn't stay in bed. In fact, she slept at Boaz's feet, not a model that I'm promoting as a courtship model for today, but serendipity. You know, she was, I think the word is serendipitous, but she did something. So let's notice that. I suppose it's like holy lightning. You know, none of us wants to get struck by lightning in the literal sense. But let's imagine that we would want to be struck by lightning. Is it going to be easy for that to happen? Not always. Even if you would want to be struck by lightning, the odds are low. But you would go outside where a thunderbolt can hit you. And that's a little bit what we're trying to do this morning, is put ourselves in a place by coming to a place of collective worship, so that God can meet us here. As it says in Romans 9, God shows mercy on those whom he will show mercy and compassion on those whom he will show compassion. But I believe that those people, those privileged people, have done something in the soil of their hearts. It is not random, as a stereotype of John Calvin's teaching might suggest. You know, in the Gospel of John, you can see this special relationship. It says on one hand, no man comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. It also says that anybody who comes to God, God will in no wise cast out. So that relationship between serendipity and putting yourself in a favorable place for God, for God's holy lightning to strike. So in Acts 16, let's read together in verse 11, the story of our hero this morning, St. Lydia. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across the island of Samothrace, and the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, these are not Anglo-Saxon words, pardon my pronunciation, a major city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We stayed there several days. This is Paul and his cohorts, and they're soon to meet Lydia here. 13. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we supposed that some people met for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had come together. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized, along with the other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I am faithful to the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she urged us until we did. To me, in this story, this relationship between experiencing God's goodness and putting yourself in the right place is beautifully illustrated. Let me show you three characteristics of Lydia's life that put herself in a place to experience God's blessing and provision. One, she was seeking God. Regularly, she went to the river to pray with these ladies. She was seeking God. Also, it says in plain words, the New Living Translation that I read says she was a worshiper of God, and which is quite remarkable considering that she was a Gentile woman from Lydia. Lydia was a region, of course, in Thyatira. Probably the Bible calls her Lydia because she was from Lydia. And also she accepted what Paul was saying. This man of God, she accepted what he was saying. So she was seeking God. All this to show, trying to show us here that it was not happenstance or purely by accident that she met God. Secondly, she was a bold person. You know, I'm sure the societal norms of the day did not allow women to be cloth merchants. But she steps outside of those norms and, by the looks of things, has a very lucrative purple dye business. If you remember the purple dye, it was from those bivalves there in Thyatira. I forget, were they snails maybe? And there were many of them, but it would take thousands to make even 1 milligram of dye. But she was in this business. And so if she was selling this, you can be assured that she was very wealthy, fabulously wealthy. It was beautiful and people wanted to buy it. And so she was outside of the sort of regular rhythms of society. She was willing to make money, even though she was a woman. She was also willing to meet with these other women at the river to pray. She was willing to step outside of what was expected. I think sometimes, you know, we're living in dangerous times spiritually. That's going to be a prerequisite for us, that we're willing to sort of break stride with what other people are doing for us to experience God. She became the first European Christian as a result of her willingness to do that. Of course, the continent of Europe as we have it today didn't exist at that time, but she became the first, at least of her people, to become a Christian. Thirdly, Lydia cared for others. Her wealth had enabled her to get, I imagine, quite a large house and residence, and so she was willing to host Paul and his fellow workers as they were there in her city. And also, another way that we know that she was involved with people is that when she was baptized, her whole household was baptized with her. So it seems to me as though she had that connection, and that's, quite frankly, a way that God works to reveal himself, is if we're involved with people around us. How about us today? You know, as we're here in this place of worship, we want to be like Lydia and experience what God has for us. We want the stars to align. Okay, we want to have the soil in our hearts ready. I'll just open it up for a moment from your experience as worshipers of God in a public place. Could we just have a few? What are some things that hinder us from meeting God, and what are some things that help us? Just could we have a few? Just fire them out if you have one. In your personal experience, what has kept you from experiencing God, or what has helped you? Perhaps this is not a problem. Yes. So a help is to meet where the people are worshiping. Yes. Yes. Yeah, if you don't get up in time before the service, that can be a hindrance. Absolutely. The preparation that you do in private before you come to the public place of worship, those are good. Let me just go over a few briefly yet before we wrap this up. I think for us today, if we want to experience God, here's one. We need to see our brothers and sisters as they are. That is to say, created in the image of God. You know, we often come together, and it's good that we come together. We're not, I think it's clear in reading the scripture that we are not meant to have our worship services in private. It's ordained that we meet in public. Emily Dickinson, the recluse, this is how she kept her services. She says, "Some keep the Sabbath going to church. I keep it staying at home with a bobolink for a chorister and an orchard for a dome." And those are nice times of worship. But I think sometimes we have to, I think we'd all agree, have to meet in public. And if, as we are in public, let's make sure that we have the proper attitude toward the people around us. In 1 John, it says, "How can a man love God whom he has not seen if he can't love his brother or sister whom he has seen? We need to be, sometimes it's easy for me at least to let thoughts of those around me distract me and keep me from worship. I think it is only okay to judge people around me in church if I have the intention of helping them and have their spiritual well-being in mind, and physical and emotional and whatever else. It says in Hebrews, to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see God. I think that would apply in a church building as well. You won't see God here unless you follow peace and holiness. Let's be careful how we judge. And the person beside us who is chewing gum or is on his iPhone, again, don't feel judgmental toward that person. I've told myself, unless I'm willing to actually engage him or her in a walk with holiness. That's one. Secondly, I think in order to meet God, to have that serendipity of meeting God, I think that we need to value God's word. The Torah was called the law in Psalms. David says in the Psalms, "How I love thy law. How I love your law." Is that our testimony? That we are here as people who love the law, instruction of God. That's how we'll meet him. Reminds me of the times of the prophets, sometimes there was a long dearth of the word of God. People were seeking idols. But, you know, when the prophets came and preached the word of God, people turned again as a nation to God. And there was that quenching of spiritual thirst. That's the attitude we need, to hunger and thirst for God's word. Final thing I have that I think we'll need today to meet God here is humility. Nobody will meet God without humility. You know, for one thing, God is our physician. If we insist that we're healed already and that there is no pain in our lives, there will be no need for healing. Humility. And also with the people around us, if we think we're better than they are, we're not following Philippians 2, which says to esteem others better than ourselves. If we proudly say that we are complete already, then we won't experience the serendipity of worship. So in conclusion, Lamentations is right. God's mercies are new every morning. I believe that. I found it. But Romans 9, juxtapose that with Romans 9, which says, God will have mercy on those whom he will have mercy, and compassion on those whom he will have compassion. So it's not automatic. Let's put ourselves in a place where God will look on us and have mercy. Broken, humble, free of critical wrong judgment toward others, and valuing God's word. Would you please bow your heads for prayer? God, we are here in this little moment of history. It's just a blip on the radar, but just barely that. We are as a drop in the bucket before you. And so I pray that we would never be proud in light of that. Pray that we would never judge others more critically than we judge ourselves, and that we would never devalue your word, but that we would put ourselves in a position to experience you, mortal and frail as we are, in this place of worship today. Cleanse our hearts. You desire truth in the inward parts, God. So I pray that could be said of us, that there's truth in our inward parts, that we're sincere and whole and authentic Christians. Bless each worshiper. Help them to be engaged, each of us to be engaged, and to be sensitive and listening to your word. I pray a blessing on this whole service. Through Jesus we pray, amen.